Now, why do you think it's taken so long for a report like this to come out?
Well, I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of work around Australia, but this particular report is a really, it's a great line in the sand because it really establishes, for the first time recently, just the exact landscape that we're facing, and that's the figures that the report has brought to light aren't surprising at all. They again reinforce the need for well-resourced refuges across Australia and also New South Wales. Over the last couple of years, there's been a major shake-up of women's services in New South Wales, as a lot of people would be familiar with. And we've had to fight the closure of refuges in the inner city and later across New South Wales because, unfortunately, the state government completely changed the funding criteria and the landscape. Refuges are now required to take in homeless women as well as women and children escaping domestic violence. And, in fact, there are now only 14 specialist domestic violence refuges in New South Wales out of 78.
Wow.
Which is a staggering reduction. Obviously, that means that staff have to deal with more clients overall and they have less time for women and children who are dealing with the very complex and difficult issues of domestic violence. Staff often have to spend a lot of time finding alternative accommodation for homeless women who aren't suitable for the refuge. And there's also a massive over-reliance on motels and caravan parks. Our group fought very hard to ensure that refuges weren't put through another damaging round of tenders, which has brought this situation about largely. And thankfully, the New South Wales government has extended all contracts until 2020, as you mentioned, so that there can be a chance to rebuild. But this report from this week has found that only 9% of women and children seeking longer-term accommodation are able to get it straight away. And that's clearly not good enough. Long-term accommodation is a major challenge facing governments across Australia and New South Wales, and rent prices, as coupled with the complexities of domestic violence and what that means in the home and with, you know, stable accommodation, is also, you know, a significant factor here. But particularly in New South Wales, but also in other areas, people we've been speaking with, we know that refuges are full. They're often at complete capacity, turning people away, and all the transitional housing being shared with homeless clients as well as domestic violence clients has added to a very pressing situation.
Yeah, the report talks about the specialist and non-specialist services. How do they differ?
Well, if we just take New South Wales as an example, we had up to 100 specialist women's services up until a couple of years ago. They'd taken about 40 years to establish. In one fell swoop of competitive tendering, that number was drastically reduced down to 14 specialist domestic violence refuges and a very small handful of other specialist services for women. So what we see in a specialist service is that the specialist service will focus on those very specific issues of that specific client group. So first of all, with women's services, because so many women accessing women's services have often experienced violence, either as children or as adults or both. And unfortunately, that violence has often been from males in their lives. We know that the best approach is to ensure a women's only service, just as a very basic foundation. That's the starting point in the environment. Then you ideally would focus on the very specific issues that the bulk of your clients are coming to you with. So if it's domestic violence, you know that there's a whole range of factors in that woman's life, and that will be very different. Those factors will be very different and much more specific than they are often for a client who has general issues. So a lot of homeless clients they may have mental health issues, and often do, and there can often be drug and alcohol in there as well. But if the main presenting issue, the main reason that that person is sitting in front of you in that service is because of homelessness, you can offer deal with that by helping them re-establish their lives, put in place some fairly straightforward mechanisms to ensure safety and secure accommodation. And it'll just be initially about a roof over their head, good food, and then with the assistance of some other services, you know, getting back into education or employment.
The decision to continue the funding till 2020, is that enough to actually improve the services that are currently existing?
No, not on its own. No. Not at all. All it means is that the homelessness services, including women's refuges, were going to be due to go through another round of competitive tendering for funding in 2017. So it just simply means that they won't have to divert their attention into bidding for funding in a competitive environment. They can actually settle down, focus on rebuilding their services, focus on retraining and building their staff back up after what was a very damaging round of tenders in this state. And they can also collaborate more openly with services in their area, whereas they were going to be pitted against them in another round of tendering in 2017.
Seems very damaging to this process of tendering. How often does that usually happen?
Well, funding traditionally is on a three-year cycle.
Right.
That's one thing that we're advocating to be extended. We'd ideally like it to be extended out to a five-year cycle. Of course, you do need, you know, accountability in funding. You need very very clear reporting and standards being met. But we would say that I think the going home, staying home reforms have really shown that competitive tendering is not suited to human services. It might be suited to building roads and bridges and getting the best bang for your buck. But when it comes to ensuring that people and people with vulnerable needs are being taken care of, it's really not the best way to go, because that sector, that industry, relies on goodwill and relationships, and competitive tendering just cuts right through that and pits services against each other, manager against manager.
Indeed. It doesn't seem like there's many winners in that sort of situation.
No.
So lastly, what needs to be done to address the lack of long-term accommodation? As you said, only 9% of people struggle to get long-term accommodation, domestic violence victims. What can be done to address this problem?
Well, I know that recently the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, has called for expressions of interest on creative funding models. That's one thing that will be in the pipeline. In New South Wales, the current government is looking at options, but so far not anything much has happened. It really is an urgent matter that affordable accommodation, the stock of affordable accommodation, be increased. And you can tell from what is being said that all parties and all levels of government believe that it's very, very important, but we do just need to knuckle down and urgently improve that situation. And there's also some other improvements that need to be made really urgently as well, because these are people's lives that we're talking about. 24-hour on-call access to women's refuges, for instance. The sooner that people can have their needs met and safety established and have a service wrap around them and talk with them about what they need and ensure that everything that they need is being addressed, the faster that they can move on with their lives. And as it is, it can take months before some of those basic principles are in place. But with specialist services, there's certainly very good progress made quickly, because they're not, you know, fluffing around, for want of a better word,
Well, yeah, he's hoping that some changes are made, and this report's quite interesting, and maybe some action will be taken.
Yes, it's a very telling report. It's great that it's out.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Roxanne, and good luck with the future.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks,
bye.